C2SP. Number 3A.
We started yesterday with the first subject, which introduces really the basis of the science of spirit and the basis of spiritualism. She first presents, so to say, the science of spirit, which says that spirit is the only and the infinite only, and there is nothing besides spirit. Then she depicts the reality of spirit by saying mind maintains all identities of being. So she says that mind, capital M, is that which maintains and sustains the identities of being. What are these identities of being? She says they are God's and his ideas. So she starts out with ideas as the identities of being, then gives the subtone of spirit and says, and only these ideas are real, nothing else is real, matter is not real, evil has no reality, and therefore evil is but an illusion. Furthermore, as a subtone of soul, it shows that this reality has identity and that those identities are never in anything. So with these three great points that we have to deal in the science of spirit with, the ideas of mind and only with ideas of mind, that they are the only reality, there is no other reality but ideas, and that these ideas never are in anything. On this basis now, she gives the counterfeit, namely spiritualism. And she says, look here, spiritualism is like in the dreams, and points out in the dreams, we are the ones that produce the dreams. We see images and landscapes and people and person, good and evil, we see it. And though they are forms of our dream, though they look like matter, they are still only our dream stuff. They look like matter, though matter is only a subjective state of our mortal mind. And it always looks as a third, that these material things in our dream, which are the product of mortal mind, seems to have sensation, and that they have physical senses in dream. You hear, you see, you smell, you taste. All the physical senses are activated in the dream, though it has nothing to do with reality. So on this basis, she builds now the subject on spiritualism, and so we go further and come to the subtone of principle, where we left it yesterday on page 71, line 21, where she says, but when the science of mind is understood. Well, the science of mind is what she said before when she started out with the subject, that in the science of mind all is idea, only ideas are real, and these ideas have identity, they are never in finite form. When this science of mind is understood, then spiritualism, the counterfeit which she has explained in the paragraph above, then spiritualism will be found mainly erroneous, having therefore no scientific basis, because their basis was dream stuff, nor has it any scientific origin. It has no origin in the divine mind, but in mortal mind, in the dream world. No proof nor power outside of human testimony. So instead of having a science of mind, as the science of spirit has, spiritualism has as its basis human testimony. The very opposite of principle. It's all based on our human view. It is therefore the offspring of the physical senses. It is not the offspring of the identities of soul. There is no sensuality in spirit. If there are physical senses, then you have sensations. And she says there is no sensuality in spirit. So in the science of spirit, there is no sensuality, whereas in the dream we have the activation of the five physical senses. And concludes, I never could believe in spiritualism. So giving, so to say, a statement that she cannot be called a spiritualist, though many would call her that way, and makes a blunt statement that she relies not on spiritualism, therefore on the science of spirit. Now, she goes on and in one paragraph depicts now the essence of spiritualism, namely life, truth and love in its counterfeit sense, naturally. Again, the basis and structure of spiritualism are alike material and physical, and so forth, and therefore its spirits are so many corporealities, limited and finite in character and quality. So she gives a sense here of life, which says that there are limited corporealities, the very opposite of life in and of spirit. It's life in body. And then a fact of truth. Spiritualism, therefore, presupposes spirit, which is ever infinite, to be a corporeal being. To be a corporeal being, we had that in life, a finite form. And so gives the counterfeit of the true form, of the true stature of manhood, says these spirits have finite form, whereas the true man, as we know, as idea, has infinite, unlimited form. And the touch of love, to round it up, a theory contrary to Christian science. The moment we have all or nothing, we have the tone of love. And so she says, look here, spiritualism has nothing to do with Christian science. He gives a final statement on that Christian science and spiritualism are the very opposites and have nothing to do with each other. So we can see here, this ends the tone of mind, and we can see here how she builds up first the belief of spiritualism. We are in mind, and we must see that first, from the standpoint of mind, she will have to declare what spiritualism supposes to be or suggests to be, and gives there first the basis. So if we run through those subtones in the negative, what spiritualism is, then we can see that she gives first a very clear statement and says, look here, spiritualism is the opposite of mind, namely, it is just elusive thought. It's just mortal mind. It's just dream stuff. It has nothing, no origin in the divine mind. Second, look here, she says, spiritualism has phenomena and seems to be material phenomena, but these material phenomena are nothing else but the objectification of mortal thought also. It's just that what you see in thought, what you see, you think it is a material form. Just think of the dream. We dream and we see things and persons and places and I don't know what, all the material universe, a new material universe we can see, and it isn't matter substance. It looks like matter, but it is not true substance, is not true reality. And then third, we see that within those beliefs, spiritualism simulates those the real identities, that it is a simulation of reality, and therefore always believes that things are in something and never outside of a finite form. From where do these three beliefs get their authority? And she says their authority really lies in human testimony. You come to a fourth and says it does not rely on a principle but on people. You see landscape, you think so and so, you, and therefore accentuates constantly the personal sense, the personal standpoint, and not the principle standpoint. And says, therefore, you have phenomena that are contrary to life, truth, and love. Namely, they are not infinite, they are finite incorporealities, they are finite forms, false suppositions, and they are, therefore, the third, absolutely contrary to Christian Science. And so gives first a statement of of the basis, so to say, of the origin of spiritualism. So as to bring out very clearly that spiritualism has nothing to do with the science of spirit, has nothing to do with the teaching of Christian Science, that it is absolutely foreign to Christian Science. With this first subject, she tackles then the second subject of spirit, in which then we have a specific phenomena of spiritualism, which she handles through spirit. The epitome here reads that spirit can only communicate itself through a spiritual sense of life. See, spiritual sense of life is soul and life, and not through its opposite. Spirit has no opposite, namely the material sense of existence, again, the counterfeit of soul and life. So as to show, now the claim of spiritualism is that opposites can commune. This is now the great subject here, that there is a relationship between opposites, that opposites mingle, and when one reads this subject, we will find constantly the separation of opposites, or on the other side, namely spiritualism, which wants the mingling of opposites, whatever the opposites are. She takes in quite a few opposites, like matter is the antipode of spirit, then the material sense of life in comparison with the spiritual sense of life, mortal belief and immortal truth, or fire and frost, tares and wheat. All these, the fact is that they do not mingle. Opposites do not mingle. Whereas spiritualism says, yes, they do mingle. Yes, they do communicate. And we have a great sense that opposites communicate with each other. And so she has to bring out that in the science of spirit there is no mingling of opposites, no communication between opposites. Only like can communicate with like, and therefore that spirit can only communicate itself through spirit, through spiritual means, and never through its opposite nature. So there is here a great sense that true communication is actually never through matter, through a material sense of things, but always through the positive, through immortal sense that can communicate. Individual good can communicate, the divine law, the divine order she speaks, the omnipresence of spirit, that can communicate. Spirit can communicate only in its own realm. And therefore, on the other side, she would show that beliefs, spiritualism, which is built on the basis of beliefs, can communicate on the level of beliefs. That is absolutely possible, that beliefs can communicate with beliefs, but they cannot communicate with spirit. And this is a terrific subject, because we all believe in the communication of spirit with matter, that we need matter in order that spirit can communicate itself, that spirit can express itself, manifest itself, reveal itself, etc. So, as we approach now the text of this second subject, we will just listen constantly to that problem to see what is the relationship between spirit and spiritualism, that is, what is the relationship between opposites. That spiritualism is the belief that opposites go together, they mingle, they communicate, they operate together. As the science of spirit says, there is no such mingling. They do not cooperate. They do not commune. When we take the main epitome here, we have taken that and see that spirit can only communicate itself through a spiritual sense. Therefore, only through its own nature. And not through its opposite nature. So we will get a very pure sense of spirit, and that is unmixed with any material concomitance. The very first point she takes up is always the point of view from mind, where we see that mortal, material sense cannot take cognizance. Well, when we say cognizance, we know that it has to do with mind. Mind knows, mind apprehends, mind cognizes, mind takes notice, and so on. So material sense cannot take cognizance of its opposite, of spiritual existence, which already is quite a problem in our everyday life. Because we think that spirit must have a material body to communicate itself, and that therefore we can cognize without belief what is the spiritual existence of our life. Now let's see how she explains it. On page 72, she starts out with spirit. There is but one spiritual existence. Well, that's her statement of the science of spirit. There is only one spiritual existence. Namely, what? And you get the sense of soul and life. Namely, the life of which corporeal sense can take no cognizance. Soul and life is that only spiritual sense can take cognizance of life. Whereas the very opposite, corporeal sense, cannot take cognizance of the spiritual existence. So with our senses, we never can see what is actually going on in reality, in the spiritual realm of things. We always have to, so to say, measure spiritual development with spiritual values and not with material values. Namely, the divine principle of man speaks through immortal sense, therefore not through corporeal sense, which we had right before. So if a material body, in other words, mortal material sense, were permeated by spirit, that body would disappear to mortal sense, would be deathless. It's a very clear statement that says, if actually spirit would be able to communicate with the corporeal sense of things, then because spirit is the all-pervading spirit, that corporeal sense would completely disappear and not communicate with it. It would disappear and you would not have cognizance of it. And that is actually what we do in practice, that we go out from spirit. And if we go out from spirit and see that spirit has only a spiritual nature, then we can never see a material nature, a material body. Then our consciousness takes cognizant mind only of that which the divine mind knows and divine mind sees and hears. So there is no communication between, because the material sense of things cannot cognize the spiritual sense of things. Therefore, she says, a condition precedent to communion with spirit, before we are all commune with the infinite spirit, where there is nothing else now for an element anymore, before we can do that, is the gain of spiritual life. This is the prerequisite, so to say, for arriving at the science of spirit, namely to gain spiritual life. Now, what chapter did tell us that gain of spiritual life? That chapter which didn't say we are spiritual and therefore this is the only. Well, the chapter of marriage, that chapter that went before, did say that and said, look here, there is a way how to gain a true sense of spiritual life, and showed it through the whole chapter, right from the point of mortality up to the point of man's coexistence with God. So we can see that spiritualism could not just be the first chapter in the textbook. At one time it was. At one time that was the first chapter. It wasn't called spiritualism. It was called imposition and demonstration. With imposition she meant spiritualism. She had there all those subjects of spiritualism in the chapter on imposition. So she went right out from her revelation that all is spirit, but later changed it and could see there must be steps leading to the fourth chapter, and the steps leading to the fourth chapter is prayer, atonement, Eucharist. It's the chapter on marriage that are leading us to the final point where we can see that if spirit would permeate a material body, that material body would vanish away, would disappear, because there would be just spirit. We go on and see, so-called spirits are but corporeal communicate. Now we come to a second subtone the moment we read that. Namely, let's first read the epitome. Namely, that the material sense of life and the spiritual sense of life, you see there are soul and life in the negative and in the positive, they are not united by progress, but more and more separate. Now we know the tone of spirit here as a subtone is to separate, and that progress separates those two things. Whereas spiritualism will tell us that those two things will unite as we go on. That the material sense of thing, when we are dead and are a spirit, that becomes a spiritual sense of life, and so they combine and conjoin. And Mrs. Eddy wants to show this is spiritualism, and that's not what we teach. The material sense of things has to go and not become one with the spiritual sense of things. This is what we find here, that nice separation. Namely, so-called spirits are but corporeal communicators. So spirits are corporeal. They are not spiritual communicators, they are corporeal. As light destroys darkness, and in the place of darkness all is light, so, in absolute science, soul, God, is the only truth giver to men. So from the absolute standpoint, soul is the only truth giver, the only communicator to men. Truth destroys mortality and brings to light immortality. Mortal belief, now in brackets, the material sense of life, can you hear again, soul and life, and immortal truth, the spiritual sense of life, soul and life, are what? Now we come to the subtone of spirit. They are the tares and the wheat, which are not united by progress, but separated. So this is a very clear statement here about spiritualism, that spiritualism will never become the science of spirit, never melt and blend into the science of spirit, but as progress goes on, they are separated and actually then finally be destroyed. So this is the very first point we begin to realize here, that the material sense of things and the spiritual sense of things must be kept separate in our consciousness. Which gives at once a further point in our soul. Perfection is not expressed through imperfection. Again, we have the opposite, perfection, imperfection. But the point is that the one does not work through its opposite. Now comes the belief, really, that the divine can express itself through its opposite, the spiritual through its opposite, the true through its opposite, always through its opposite. So perfection is not expressed through imperfection. Spirit is not made manifest through matter. Can you see? Always the same idea, but repeated in various examples. So spirit is not made manifest through matter, which is the antipode of spirit. Error is not a convenient sieve through which truth can be strained. Alone in these four lines, or practically only three lines, we have three times the term through as a subject. And so you see at once, this is soul, because soul says that soul is always outside finite form, that soul is not in limited forms. It is, therefore, spiritualism is wrong, which says that spirit can manifest itself through its opposite. That's always the point. Now, as we have here the epitome for soul, the divine cannot express itself through its opposite, and whatever the opposite is. This is, so every time we feel that something that is good operates through its opposite or needs its opposite to communicate itself, we know it's spiritualism. So if intelligence has to operate through brain, then we know this is spiritualism. If unfoldment has to operate through a material evolution, we know that is the spiritualism. Can you see, you can take all those beliefs that we have, that we think that something that is spiritual, that is good, that is positive, needs its opposite to demonstrate itself, to express itself, to manifest itself, to show itself forth, to present itself. This is all false communication. So the whole tone of spirit is showing that spirit communicates only through its own nature.